What is a chief technology officer? In my book titled Chief Technology Officer, I argue that the T in CTO should not refer to the IT that's used internally to the company, but it should refer to the technology that's part of the company's services and products that are created for the customer. That's the definition that we're going to use in this podcast today. So let's begin. If a chief information officer can manage the internal use of information technology throughout an organization, and a chief financial officer can oversee the finances of an entire company, then it seems logical that a chief technology officer should be able to direct the use of all non-IT technologies across a company's product development and manufacturing processes, doesn't it? But technology is not finance or even IT. Technology is both more diverse and more specialized than finance or IT, and it may be more difficult to manage with the same top-down hierarchy that are used in those domains. Within any large corporation, there are literally hundreds of unique technologies to be evaluated, adapted, and incorporated into products or production processes. An aerospace company may have interests in metals, composites, radar systems, and avionics. At an oil company, the central technologies might be in remote sensing, seismology, and oceanography. And while they are related areas, they are also widely divergent. It's difficult, if not impossible, for a single CTO to get his or her arms around all of the technologies that may be important to a complex organization and to provide meaningful guidance about which ones to pursue and how to pursue them. In 1990, Lewis and Lawrence counseled that a CTO should get out of the research lab and contribute to the business strategy. They said the CTO's tasks are not those of a lab director writ large, but rather of a technical business person who's deeply involved in shaping and implementing the overall corporate strategy. Perhaps I'd like to suggest the CTO should get out of the C-suite and into the detailed workings of the business units. In a world of diverse technologies, there's a need for more senior technologists looking into fewer technologies each. What's needed, in short, is a field-grade CTO. So the military has a long history of embedding functional experts into their field units. These field-grade officers fall between the senior ranks of generals and the lower company officers who have direct command of the troops. The field officer does not directly manage and direct combat troops. Rather, he or she focuses on a specialty area, such as logistics or intelligence or communications, along with all of the details that are involved in those fields. He or she brings a unique expertise to the field units, adding specialized knowledge where and when it's needed. So similarly, a field-grade CTO could be distributed across business units, providing specialized expertise in the few technologies that are most important to each unit. In fact, this structure has already been adapted in many corporations where technology leaders are focused on the use of technology within a specific field unit of the company. Having served as a CTO in a software company, a government acquisition office, and a nonprofit hospital system, I have observed that the function of the CTO has become much more of a field operation rather than a single C-suite position. Though there may be a single CTO at the top, most companies also employ a number of business unit level CTOs who are engaged in the operations of just one specialized area. Further, this field-grade CTO may or may not have official reporting or accountability relationships to the C-suite CTO. David Pratt, a CTO at a large defense contractor, has served as the Chief Technology and Engineering Officer, the Chief Scientist, and a Fellow for the Modeling and Simulation and Training Business Unit of that company. It employs 46,000 people and is headquartered in Northern Virginia. He reports to the business unit's senior vice president, and he weighs in on all strategic issues involving that unit's products and services. He has a voice in decisions to make acquisitions, pursue new contracts, and expand into new markets. But he does not serve as the CTO for the entire company, nor is he expected to be a master of every technology that this global company uses. His relationship with the C-suite CTO is more akin to those within a consulting company. The C-suite CTO does not control the daily activities of Pratt and his peers in other SAIC business units, or even evaluate their annual performance. Rather, he expects to be able to call on the specialized expertise of the field grade CTOs when new problems arise across the company. If a new business opportunity requires expertise in virtual reality combined with global communications, the company can call upon the expertise of Pratt and other experts to deliver a solution more rapidly than their competitors can. Once the immediate problem is solved, the field grade CTO returns to their business units to perform their activities there. What hierarchy that does exist among these CTOs is not meant to control their daily activities, but rather exists to provide a competitive advantage to the company when making new business ventures. In his classic book, Competitive Advantage, Michael Porter stated that technology is embodied in every value activity in the firm. A technological change can affect competition through its impact on virtually any activity. Most managers and executives remember this as the book that introduced the value chain, but they may have missed this discussion of technology across that value chain. In his value chain model, Porter divided the company's various operations into primary activities, which were inbound logistics, operations, outbound logistics, marketing and sales, and service. And then separate from that, support activities, which included infrastructure, human resources management, technology development, and procurement. In addition to describing how each of the activities, whether primary or support, create value, Porter offered a concise description of the role of technology within each area. For instance, operations technologies included the materials that are used in production and machinery that is used, the means of handling and transporting material down the line, packaging for intra-facility handling, quality assurance methods, facilities design, and information technology on the production line. Seemingly anticipating the clamor for a single C-suite CTO that would arise throughout the 1990s, Porter showed how technologies and their applications within different activities of the business are unique, and each unique application makes significant contributions to the entire value chain. A field-grade CTO in an operations area, for instance, will focus on core manufacturing processes and materials. How is the product created, and how can it be done faster and cheaper and better? But support activities are not a technology backwater. In fact, the IT department has totally transformed Porter's infrastructure, his procurement, and his human resources areas. Leaders have redesigned entire companies around new IT infrastructures, introducing changes on a par with the addition of electric power and telephones in an earlier generation. IT is now so important that the CIO position has become almost universal in the executive ranks of companies around the world. Now, not surprisingly, many of those CIOs are supported by a deputy with the title of CTO, or a CTO of IT. One of these might be Herb Keller at Florida Hospital, who usually handles the relationships with specific IT product vendors and the actual installation of the tools. Executive guidance from the CIO establishes the funding and the strategic plan, which the CTO of IT then implements as part of the infrastructure support activity. Keller must also work with the operating units of the hospital such as the emergency department, surgery, inpatient care, and the research groups, to meet their unique IT needs. When the CTO of a research group wants to establish global telecommunication connections to conduct research into telesurgery, Keller and the CTO develop a CTO to CTO collaboration between these two field-grade CTO officers to find effective, affordable, and regulation-compliant tools that can do the job. Though these CTOs have different reporting structures within the organization, they share the responsibility for solving an important problem within the hospital system. In conclusion, any title with the CXO form is automatically expected to be part of the executive suite, with one person holding that title. But the CTO title may not fit that mold, given the variety of technologies and the context in which these technologies are implemented. It may be time to rethink the notion of a C-suite level CTO. Porter's value chain model suggested the need for these technology experts as early as the 1980s, and industry practice has met with this need through the creation of field-grade CTOs throughout their organization.